The last time I was here, I told you a story right at the end. And as I was thinking about that story, I thought it would be good to repeat that once again, to repeat that story. And the word story, kind of a misnomer, because that would kind of, give us the impression that it was something that happened somewhere far away. No, it happened right here to someone in this room. It happened to our brother Tom Sutton. I told you the story of how Tom had gotten a new job, and he was by himself on this new job where he was assigned to fumigate a grain storage bin. And he was there by himself, and he had gone in to the bin and set up the fumigation devices, and it was done, and he had to re-enter the storage bin to go get the devices. And something happened. The door shut. The door locked behind him with no handle on the inside. There's a picture of the door. Tom sent me the pictures. That's how thick the door is. You can see it's kind of bent a little bit. There's the latch. You can see that the door has been pushed on pretty hard to bend the latch. There was no possible way for him to get his Leatherman tool out the crack of the door to try and lift the latch. He was inside with the toxic fumes. You can see the door has been pushed on. I'm sure Tom pushed pretty hard on the door, try and get it open. But it wasn't going to open, was it? There's no way. Tom fell to his knees. He said, "God, save me." He turned to God. The only place he could turn. You tell me how the door could have popped open unless a miracle happened. And a miracle did happen. And the door came open. I think sometimes we think that miracles are for other people. They happen to other people. No, they happen to us and for us. We need to turn to God, just like Tom did. Today, the message is about turning. Tom's only hope was in God. And today, our only hope is in God. When I think of the prayer that Tom said, it reminded me of our need for prayer. By the way, there's a prayer meeting here every Wednesday that we can come and ask God for things, and we can expect miracles to happen. We think of how Andy has recovered in certain ways and is able to go to work now, and I think that's a miracle. We need to come and pray and petition God. He's the God of miracles. Let's pray. Father, here we are once again. We are looking at this message, this very old message that was given to Isaiah. And I don't want to mess it up. I want your spirit to be able to speak to me and speak to us today. And so I ask for that once again. Please speak to us from your word. We give it to you now. We ask your blessing upon it, Lord Jesus. In your name we ask. Amen. Someone asked me to review where we've been. And so I'm going to give you a quick review of the messages that have been related to this portion in Isaiah chapter 6. The very first time I spoke to you regarding this message was about transformation. And we looked at what God wants to do in our life. He wants to transform us. I said the statement that we need a clear understanding of the gospel and to know the gospel and to continually apply it. I challenge myself and you to repeat the gospel to yourself every day. Now, I have received many testimonies from people in this room that have been doing that have been repeating the gospel to themselves in the morning. And something happens when you do that. There are opportunities come during the day when that message is fresh on your mind. And people have been giving me testimonies. And I would just say, if you have been doing this, repeating the gospel to yourself, the good news to yourself, spread that around. Tell people about it. Tell others the good news, the gospel. The next message was actually the first step in the message that was given to Isaiah. And the first step was see with your eyes. The message that was given to Isaiah was actually for the children of Israel. It was a four-step process. It involves seeing with your eyes, hearing with your ears, understanding your heart, and turning. Today, we're talking about turning. The message about our eyes had to do with the signs of the times. Do you remember that one? Have you seen the signs of the times? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? We looked at what the scripture says are some of the signs of the times. Knowledge will increase. The mark of the beast, violence, sexual immorality, deceitfulness, deceiving spirits, mockers, lovers of pleasure. Have you seen any of the signs of the times? The time is now for the Lord to return. The next message we looked at listening and hearing. That one was titled, Here Am I, Send Me. And we looked at some of the things that kind of hinder us from hearing from God. I suggested that maybe our stash or our music or our inconsistent prayer life were reasons that we just don't hear from God. I haven't heard him say anything to me in a while. I hear that quite often. Has God been saying anything to you? Do you know what it is? Could you tell somebody if they ask you the question, what's God been saying to you lately? Do you have an answer? The next message, we looked at understanding. And we looked at the relationship between understanding to knowledge and wisdom. And what we found is that many times our understanding is limited because of our knowledge of the facts. And I read this verse, Ephesians 1:18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And I read this statement. Knowledge and understanding alone should not be the goal of our life. Applying God's word to our life is what's truly important. But God gives us understanding, doesn't he? That comes from him. Today, we're looking at the last step, which is turning. Turning and being healed. Now, I came up with these two scriptures, by the way. The paper had the scriptures wrong. I don't know whether anybody in here read the paper. The scriptures are actually Acts 26 and Acts 28. This is Acts 26, and this is part of Paul's response to Agrippa. Sorry. Agrippa. One of those guys, right? And he's given this response. He's telling how he was converted. And that this is what Jesus said to him, what is what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go to the Gentiles, and this is what was going to happen, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Thursday, I was at the rescue mission, and Dan came to help serve. Thank you, Dan. Tony was there to serve and to give a word. And Tony and I were sitting in my office. It's kind of more of a closet, really. It's not really an office. And Tony said, you know, I've been enjoying this verse. It's really cool. You should look at it. It's Acts 26, and he didn't know that this was already in the paper as something that we were going to talk about today. And I thought it was cool, Tony, that God had said it to you, too. He said it to me, and he said it to you. Turn. This is Acts 28, 26, and 27. This is at the end of the Acts. This is Paul. Right? The message was given to Isaiah in chapter 6. Jesus himself repeated it in Matthew. We've looked at that before, and here's Paul now with the same message. When it happens three times, I think we should probably pay attention. Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear. With their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand in their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Turn, and I would heal them. When I was at the mission, I ask the people, what comes to mind when you think of the word turn? Now, the people at the mission were a little bit more spiritual than me, and they gave an answer that I'll show you at the end. But that the first thing that comes to my mind is a song. And the song is Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds. You can probably think of that one right now. Right? To everything, turn. Yeah. It's actually a biblical song, I think. I mean, it's based on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And what the message of the song is, I'm not exactly sure why we're instructed to turn. But I also thought of some other things. Being an engineer, I came across some signs that you might find in engineering. There was a good one. Are your turn signals on? That one I struggled with a little bit. I'm not sure what they're telling us to do. Yeah. That one, sometimes the directions are a little bit confusing, but I thought about things like the turning point or the point of no return or you lost your turn. How many times did we hear that as kids? Or how about when you're driving and your loved one says you missed the turn. That's where you were supposed to go. Or maybe you've got an app on your phone that alerts you when you're supposed to turn, and when you drive past it, it says, turn now! As I thought about these things, I realized that there was something that wasn't in the song, Turn, Turn, Turn. And it's actually Ecclesiastes 3:11, three verses later, that says this: He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Yet so that we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And I thought about that statement, that God has put eternity into our hearts, yours and mine. Today, eternity is in your heart. And I thought about maybe somebody in this room who's been thinking about where they're going to spend eternity, and they're not quite sure. Is that you? Have you been thinking about eternity? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Today, I'm going to share with you five things that we should turn from and five things that we should turn to. And the things were given to me. So I'm sharing with you what God said to me about turning. And I have an opportunity that is somewhat unique in that many times I have to take a trip that might take an hour and a half. And when I take the motorcycle, I have an hour and a half of nothing. No radio, can't really listen to the radio. I suppose there are motorcycles with radios, but the sound is pretty difficult to hear when the wind's whistling in your ears. And so I remember taking a trip to Bellevue, Ohio. It's past Clyde, it's out there a ways. And I said, God, I want to talk to you today about this message. And as I'm riding along, God is talking to me about these things. And I was wishing I could stop and write it down, because when I got to Bellevue, I thought, I hope I don't forget what God said to me. But these things I do remember. And here's the first one. Scott, you should turn from self-righteousness. And I might be the only one in here who sometimes think I'm a good guy. And God had to say this to me: to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. There's no good thing in me except what God creates in my regenerated self. And sometimes I just get in a mindset of self-righteousness, and I need to turn from that. Is God saying that to you today? Are you self-righteous? The second thing we should turn from that God said to me is self-indulgence. And I have scriptures for each one of these. This is what God said to me: Scott, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. You were like that, Scott. And it's part of my gospel that I repeat to myself in the morning. I was lost. But sometimes my flesh still wants to indulge in worldly passions. And God says, you need to turn from that, son. Turn from self-indulgence. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm not that bad. But sometimes our self-indulgence plays out in different ways. And sometimes it plays out in the next one, which is self-gratification. I need to turn from self-gratification. And so I came across the scriptures. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And Some of us may struggle with things like pornography, but some of us might struggle with things like eating, watching TV. And we kind of zone out. We watch certain things. God says, no, I want you to turn from that. I want you to turn away. The last thing, well, this is number four. Scott, turn from self-reliance. This is Psalms 30, verse 6 and 7. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. And then this phrase at the end, but you hid your face and I was dismayed. Many times, I can be reliant on myself, the way God has made me. Not really need to ask God for his help at all. Go through my day and I do my work. Comes 4 or 5 o'clock and I think to myself, wow, I didn't talk to God all day. Is that you? Is God saying, I need you to turn away from your reliance on yourself? Are you in a state of dismay today? Are you dismayed at things? Has God shaken your mountain a little bit? Your mountain of self-reliance? As I looked at these four things, the thing in common is self. And I asked myself the question, how can we tell if we're struggling with self? And so I ask you the question, how can you tell? And the next thing that I wrote down here, when my wife read this, she thought, she didn't quite understand this one. But I'll just throw it to you and see how you respond. Do you struggle with spontaneous expressions of self? Does all of a sudden yourself express itself in a way that's let you know? Yeah. Sometimes it's swearing. Sometimes it's just swearing under your breath. Sometimes it's in traffic. Sometimes it's, usually it comes out of your mouth. It's saying and repeating things that you shouldn't, slandering others. Finally, the fifth thing that God said to me, turn from your secret sins. I came across these two scriptures. I couldn't narrow it down to one. Psalms 90, verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Today is God saying to us, turn from your secret sins, those things that you think no one else knows about. We know they're not secret to God. God sees them. And as I was thinking about this this morning, I was thinking about how sometimes we know that there's something wrong in our relationship with God. We know that there's something there. There's something in the way. And I would just suggest to you today that maybe it's a secret sin. And there's a way that you can take care of that. You can ask God to show you what it is that's blocking your fellowship with him. Today, if God is calling to you already and he's already told you what it is that's in your mind right now, you can turn from it right now. Turn from that secret sin. As I looked at things that we should turn to, there was five things. And just to review, though, in Acts 26, Paul said to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and turn from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified. He tells us that we can turn from things and turn to things. Here's five things that we can turn to today. The first one is found in the very message, healing. We can turn to God for healing this morning. And sometimes we think of it kind of in a tunnel that it's really about sickness, but no, it's spiritual and physical healing both. When I went through the scriptures to look up every instance of healing, what I found is that in the New Testament, the healing actually just involved four words. Disciples, when they healed somebody, four words. The words are, Jesus Christ heals you. That's what they said. Jesus Christ heals you. This morning, we can turn to Jesus for healing. And just as a reminder, is there something plaguing you today? Are you hurt? Are you discouraged? Are you damaged? Are you a damaged person? Do you need healing from the guilt of sin? Have you received forgiveness? And I would just say this, turn to Jesus this morning. If that's you, turn to Jesus. The second thing was restoration. We can turn to the Lord for restoration. And at times in our lives, we do things, we sin and we fall, and we need to be restored. Peter had one of these instances. And this is what Jesus said. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter needed to be restored. He needed to be restored. And so he turned again. And many of us can relate to falling away, to backsliding. If that's you today, if you've fallen away and backslidden, it's time to turn again to Jesus for restoration. The third thing that we can turn to Jesus for is direction. The verses that I came up with were Psalms 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. And I would just say to you today, this was a reminder to me, that when we need direction, when we're a little bit lost, when we don't know where to go next, we can ask for it. And many times we try everything else. We ask other people, what should I do? God is reminding us this morning, turn to Jesus for direction. The fourth thing was power and strength. And we need power and strength to even turn. We know this one pretty well. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This morning, are you feeling weak? Are you feeling like you have no spiritual power? We can turn to Jesus for the strength to carry on. Barb and I were sitting in the hot tub last night, and we were talking about burnout. Getting burned out. And I've heard before that we get burned out when we cease to rely on the power that God provides. And there's truth to that. Sometimes it's not that simple, is it? Today is God reminding you right now that you need to turn to Him for the power and the strength that He provides. Turn to Him. You don't even have to wait. You can do it right now. Last thing, we can turn to God in our time of need for help. Are you going through an anxious time right now? Is anxiety plaguing you? You got bills to pay and no money. You got trouble in your family. I came up with two scriptures for this one. Hebrews 4:15 and 16. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may find or receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Is Jesus reminding you this morning that you've been suffering with anxious thoughts and you just haven't turned to Jesus? Is He reminding you to turn to Me? I will help you in your time of need. We've been talking about turning this morning. There's actually parallel messages. There's a message for the lost and a message for those of us that are saved. Today, if you're lost, if you've never given your life to Christ and you're headed in the wrong direction, God is calling to you and saying, turn, turn to Me. Has God given you a warning and said, this is the wrong way, go back. You're headed for destruction. If God has given you a warning this morning, you need to respond and turn to Jesus. Now, as I had asked the people at the mission, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of turn? Two or three of them said repentance. And there's a verse for those that are lost, for those that have never accepted Christ. Today, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. If today the weight of your sin is heavy on you right now, you can turn to Jesus for salvation. Don't turn away. For those of us that are saved, there's this verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we know this one really well, but if My people who are called by My name humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Today, is God calling you in this way to turn from your wicked ways? We need healing in our land. We need God's people to repent and turn back to Him. I'm going to finish with this story. I was having breakfast with a brother who was struggling. He thought that God was displeased with him because he wasn't able to give what he thought was 100% to God. I just can't give it all to Him. And therefore, God's not happy with me. And this verse came to my mind. I didn't put it on a slide. It's Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom. I said to this brother, you are free from that. It's something Satan has been using to keep you down, Turn to Jesus for freedom. And I will end with this. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today God is offering freedom. Do not turn away. Today, if you are you have given your life to Christ and yet you're just struggling with things that you think you're not doing, or I'm supposed to be doing more, God says to you, for freedom, you are free from that. I will tell you what to do and you can obey. You don't need to be bound in this anxious state of thinking you're not pleasing God. For freedom. If you need freedom this morning, turn. Turn to Him right now. Let's pray. Father, here we are. We have gone through this message pretty fast, but we see that you told us that we should see something and hear something and understand and then turn. And it's a volitional act. And so we just pray that you might give us the strength to turn right now, to turn to you for those things that have been plaguing us. Father, if there's somebody here that is lost and on their way to a lost eternity, I just pray that you might prick their heart right now and that they might turn to you, turn to Jesus for healing. Jesus, thank you so much for dying for us and for providing all the things that we need. Make these things clear to us now. Thank you so much. In your name we say it. Amen.